This is Phil Ferrand.
And my wife is driving me home. So we had a big day today. I was driving Aiden to school yesterday.
Light on back there.
Oh, that's probably because Aiden hit it. So here, just a second, one moment. I took Aiden. Hold it. There we go.
Oh, I wasn't driving.
Okay. There we go. All right.
So I didn't notice it.
Yeah. No, I had taken.
You were driving.
Right. I had taken Aiden to school in the van this morning. Was it this morning? I think so. Because yesterday. No, I picked him up. And I did take him this morning.
Yeah, you did.
So I picked him up in the van yesterday, and he loves to push the lights above the thing. So the light was on back there, and I forgot about it. And anyways, yesterday morning, I did take him to school in my car, and it was rough. It was rough. It was rough. And I was like, uh-oh. Now, I do have one of those, whatever, the OBD things, so that you can get fault codes off the car. So I went, brought that up, and ran the fault codes, and it was saying that cylinder 2 was misfiring. So I thought, well, when I get back home, I'll go ahead and I'll call Cloverleaf. I got back home, got busy, got, you know, dinking around and doing stuff and bustling around, and I never called Cloverleaf. And then I realized about mid-afternoon I had not called Cloverleaf.
Okay, back here.
Yeah, no, you're back. It's back.
It's fine.
I'm sure. Yeah, there it is. It's in the back of the seat. We just went out with our small groups. We're just leaving a Mexican restaurant called El Maguey. So
El Maguey.
Some people. Maguey. It is not El Maguey. Maybe it is. I think it's El Maguey. I really think it's El Maguey, but we'd have to talk to someone who speaks Spanish. So, anyways, about mid-afternoon, Jesus reminded me, oh, yeah, Cloverleaf. And I was like, oh, right. And so I grabbed my phone and I went out because I really felt like I needed to call them. And so I called them perfectly prepared that it was going to be a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks before I could get the car in. And the young man there, real sweet young man, Caden, really nice guy. He said, you called at a really great time because I just had a cancellation for tomorrow. And he said, do you think you can get your car here tomorrow? And I said, yes. I said, one way or another, I will get my car there tomorrow. So we got it in first thing. Ned helped me go ahead and get Aiden in the van. She drove Aiden. I went to the thing. She followed. I got in her car. We took Aiden to school. Got that all taken care of. When we got back home at one point, Lynette had asked me, she said, so do you have any idea on schedule? I said, I have no idea on schedule, but I do know this. I think it was a God thing that we got the car in, and I'm sure the schedule will work out. So, and it did. It worked out because it was just a plug and a coil. They replaced that. The car was done by noon. Nett's brother happened to be in town. She went with him. I dropped her off as I was heading back home in the morning. She had time with him, had a lovely time with him. And then he just took her over to the car place, and she grabbed the car and came home. So, ta-da! I will say that this also happens to be close to the start of year 16.
That's all right.
You thought I was destined? We are close to the start of the year 16. I think it was actually last, and I missed the anniversary. So, but the kids were in London and blah, blah, blah. We did get the kids back home finally last night because they were supposed to come home last Friday. And then they had the fire at Heathrow Airport. That threw their schedule off, but they made it back in safe and sound, and they're recovering from jet lag. And so it's been an exciting day. We've been juggling things around and trying to get some things in place, and I've been finishing up my little fight with the latest cold that I caught from Aiden, but you know, that's childcare for you.
Down to three animals.
And we are down to three animals, that's right, because at one point we had seven. Because we had the kids' two dogs, so that took us up to five. And then my wife's best friend from college, Ray Johnson, lives here in town, and she had back surgery. And so we had her two dogs as well. So for multiple days there, we had five dogs. So that was very exciting. But they were fine.
Five dogs and two cats.
Seven, yeah. So, but it was fine, you know. Aiden actually came down every morning this past week, and they didn't bug him, and the dogs were in the bedroom. All the dogs were in the bedroom with... Oh, no. You had Amber take care of
Ray's
dogs downstairs. Yeah. And then we had put Liz and Alan's dogs in the guest bedroom in crates. And then, of course, Bella was in our room, and the cats just roaming.
Yeah.
So they just roaming.
Roman cats.
Yeah, Roman cats. So this past week, pretty standard week, just got some things done and worked through a few problems, trying to chase down, you know, a few oddities and things. But, I mean, all was well. Haven't done any work on the costumes now in a couple of weeks. And I do need to kind of power up and get started on classic movie day. But I think that's going to be pretty straightforward. I do have the mask, which the vinyl mask of Jim Carrey when he puts on the mask and, you know, becomes the mask. And I also have a reproduction of his mask that he puts on. So I haven't really worked that out. And about all I really have to do with that is I have to remake the hat, but I did some measurements, so I know what those measurements are. The hat isn't going to be that hard to put together. The mask, the vinyl one, stinks, so that's going to be, that's a little of a challenge, but that'll be fine. I'm sure I'll get used to it. I actually, when I came down with this cold for the first couple of days, I really thought I was having an allergic reaction to something, and I had put on the mask one of those evenings, and it was stinky enough that I was actually a little worried that maybe I was having a really bad allergic reaction, but it was just a cold. That's when my sinus ended up burning all night one night. It was like, yeah, this is a cold. It's a cold. So
then you came through that night, well, won the night,
yeah.
Because you were going to work on that. You needed a measurement for your head.
Right.
So right. He walks through the room with this little hat that he'd made out of tin foil.
My tin foil hat.
Tin foil wrapped completely around his head, and he walks through the room, and then I got tickled because I thought, I didn't think a thing about that.
Nope,
that's just normal at our house.
Hey, you never know what Phil is going to show up when he walks out of the bedroom. So, but I had put the tin foil on my head because I needed the shape, because obviously our heads aren't round, they're longer than they are wide, and so I needed that pattern to figure out then how big the brim's going to be, and then the brim will be circular, but then you have to put that ellipse on the inside to make it fit correctly, which a lot of hats don't have. A lot of hats are circular on the inside, especially derby hats, and so so we were laughing about that. So I just have to get that taken care of. But I don't really think that's going to be that big of a deal. I do have to get started on it because this is April. As far as the writing goes, I am on book 23 at this point. I'm still in chapter 1 of book 23. I've just been sort of just piddling. But I kind of know where I'm going, sort of. I know a little bit. I did sit down, and since this is book 23... I've only got one more book, 24. I'm feeling a little cramped for space because I only have two more books to fill that are only 450 pages apiece. So I've only got about 900 pages to go. And so now I'm having to kind of think about this a little bit. There's not the great expanse that I've enjoyed for the last 22 books. And I actually sat down and said, okay, what are all the things that I really need to get resolved? So we'll see how many of them I can get ticked off the list in the next two books. Well, I think some people are going to have to start dying, honestly. I mean, it's just that time. So we'll see. We'll see. So this week, I came across a pretty intriguing web podcast by John Campbell, who I just dearly love. He was a nurse in England, older gentleman, trained nurses, very knowledgeable. I really loved his whole testimonies and his very clear-headed, clear-minded approach to COVID through the whole COVID crisis, and really learned a lot from him. And he, among many others, like Brent Weinstein and Heather Hain and the doctor who was part of the Frontline COVID Alliance, Pierre, I forget his last name, but they were really my beacons during the whole COVID, because they just made sense. They were very calm, and they were just looking at the facts and trying to speak truth about the facts. And of course, they got censored and kicked off, demonetized, I mean, the whole bit. But John Campbell has gone on to continue making podcasts and talk about really, really important things. And one of the things that his podcast, it was a shorter one, but, you know, one of the things that he talked about was what he called, and he got this from an article with one of his friends had written this article, he called the $1 trillion drug. And quoting from the article that he was reading, he was saying, if the pharmaceutical industry had developed a single drug capable of reducing cancer mortality by 25%, of reducing the incidence of metastatic and fatal cancers by 38%, of reducing autoimmune disorders by 39%, of reducing type 1 diabetes of 88%, of preventing advancement of prediabetes to type 2 diabetes by 76%, of reducing peripheral vascular disease by 80%, of lowering the risk of upper respiratory tract infections 58%, reducing COVID infectivity 54%, reducing COVID-19 infection 74%, reducing COVID hospitalizations 22%, reducing mortality 45% through 66%. In his words, obviously, this would be a $1 trillion drug if the pharmaceutical industry would just develop that. Well, all of those figures come out of a paper that did an in-depth analysis of disease, an averaging of disease between countries where the average population had an adequate level of vitamin D versus the populations of countries that did not have an adequate level of vitamin D. Now, are those figures exact? Is it even possible to get exact figures? I don't know. I would have to read the article, and I would have to, you know, see what the sources were, and et cetera, et cetera. But by watching, by looking at that analysis and seeing so many things that are so different, you really start to get a flavor for what is possible when your vitamin D levels are right. And according to the guidelines, you really want to have your best levels of somewhere between 40 and 60 nanograms per milliliter or something like that. And I have had mine as high as 77, and that's where I'd like to have it, and I'd love to have it in up to 80. But I've been doing some things wrong, because I've been religiously taking my vitamin D, and for some reason I'm down around 50, which I suspect is simply because it's the sun, and it's the sun, and it's the sun, and I haven't been out in the sun enough. So I'm going to work on that this summer. And I might have been taking my vitamin D wrong, because you're not really supposed to take it with water. You start to take it with some good fats, that it's fat soluble, and so you really need that fat when you're taking your vitamin D. The time before last I took a test, which was only about 6 weeks ago, I was at 50, which is still in the quote-unquote optimal range. The last one I took, I was 38, and that's not good. So we're working on that. We're working on that. But in the United States, 25% or more of children and of adults have a circulating concentration of less than 20, which is not good. And what's really fascinating about all of this is that you've got so much sickness in this country, and yet, even with all this sickness in the country, when they talk to doctors and they ask doctors how many of you are actually checking vitamin D levels in your patients, very few. Because the official guidelines this may be the official guidelines in the UK, but I don't know that they're any better in the United States. John Campbell was saying that the official guidelines are, do not routinely test for vitamin D deficiency in people who are asymptomatic. So what they're saying is, well, unless they're showing some signs of being vitamin D deficient, there's really need to test for it. Well, you can be deficient for a whole lot of years before stuff shows up and it's affecting all kinds of other things in your body, and your immune system is just not working right. Because you need vitamin D and you need fats for your body to work correctly. So it's really, if you haven't gotten your vitamin D tested recently, you can order vitamin D test kits on Amazon. All you have to do is prick your finger, you drop it on three little circles, you send it in, like 2 weeks later, you've got a level. And then once you've got a level, then you can start working on it. And the fact is that everybody metabolizes vitamin D differently, and it's just impossible to know where you are. It's just impossible to know where you are until you test. So, you know, consider this my hearty and welcome and heartfelt invitation to anyone who is hearing this who doesn't know what their vitamin D level is. Please go get it tested and then do what you have to do to get your vitamin D up. So this, and you can go ahead and pull into the garage, sweetie. We're good. So this is my plan at this point. I am taking vitamin D. I have some little vitamin D capsules that are 10,000. I have some little K2, MK7. You can do K2, MK4 as well. MK4 is just more absorbed, and I want something that took longer to absorb. K2, MK4, if you're gonna take any kind of higher dose of vitamin D, it's good to take it with a little vitamin K2. And the ratio is 1 to 100. So if you're gonna take 10,000 IU of vitamin D, you wanna take 100, 100, I don't know, it's 100. Just buy the 100s of K2. And I will tell you, at this point, I'm tired of having a vitamin D level, so I'm actually taking 20,000 IU a day with 200 vitamin K. And because I've listened to doctors who are in the know, and they're like, you can take plenty of this. It's not going to harm you. So anyways, my beloved wife, we have made it home. She has very kindly driven me home. This is Phil Farron, and I have made it home. Have a great weekend, everyone.